open our Bibles today to the book of John, chapter 10. Now, I don't do this very often, but last week and this week, I'm bringing one message in two parts. Last week's message was from John chapter 10, and the title of that message was The Shepherd of the Sheep, John 10, 14 through 18. Now, this morning, I want to speak to you on the subject, the sheep of the shepherd. And this is taken from that same 10th chapter of John, verses 22 through 31. Now, our Lord had been speaking to these people, John chapter 10, about His divine person and His glorious redemptive work. He declared, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the sheep. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold, and there shall be one shepherd." Now, he was at Jerusalem. Look at verse 22 and 23. He was at Jerusalem, and it was during a great feast of dedication. There were lots of people there, many religious people there for the feast of dedication. And our Lord was walking in Solomon's porch, and these people had heard this message. Some of them got very angry. Some of them said, "He hath a devil." Some of them said, "He's crazy. Why do you listen to him?" But there was a great division over what he had said about being a good shepherd and having a sheep. And so these religious Jews came round about him. Look at verse 24. They came to him, and as they always did, they were trying to trap him. They were trying to find a way to take him to the authorities. They wanted Jesus of Nazareth dead. They wanted him out of the way. And they continually tried to trap him in his speech. They tried to find something on him that they could report to the authorities. They tried every way. And here they came up to him, and this is what they said in John 10, 24. They said, "Now, if you be the Christ, if you be the King of the Jews, the Christ, the Messiah, tell us plainly, tell us in no uncertain terms, tell us in plain words, say it with your own mouth, I am the Christ. I am the expected Messiah of the Jews. I am the King of the Jews. Say it. Tell us plainly." Now, they wanted him to do that, not because they wanted to know if he were the Messiah. They didn't believe him. They didn't believe he was the Christ. They said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" They said, "Well, we know him. He's the carpenter. We know his mother and father and his brothers and sisters. We know all about him." Why they were asking him this, "Tell us plainly, tell us boldly, in your own words, say it, I am the Christ." They wanted to run immediately and tell the Romans and tell the authorities that he claims to be a king. That's why they crucified him. That's what they put over his head when they nailed him to a cross. "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." That's what Pilate asked them. "Shall I crucify your king?" They said, "We have no king but Caesar." That's the charge they brought against him when they brought him to Pilate. They said, "He says he's a king. He says he's a king." When the soldiers took him down to the soldiers' hall and mistreated him and humiliated him, in what character did they mistreat him? The king. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They put a purple robe on his shoulders. They put a reed for a scepter in his hand, and they mocked him and bowed the knee and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." That's the character in which he was rejected. That's the character in which he was tried. That's the character in which he was crucified. And that's exactly what he is. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's God's King. And that's the very character in which a man will receive him if he's ever saved. Paul said in Romans 10, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be King, Lord, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." The gateway into the kingdom of God is the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now that's so. And they've said, we want to hear you say it. I am the Christ. Now tell us plainly if you be the Christ. How did he answer that challenge? Look at verse 25. How did the Lord answer? He says, I told you. I did tell you. And you didn't believe me. You didn't believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. And you didn't believe the works either. You see, what I told you was crystal clear. And what the Scriptures tell you is crystal clear. And you have no excuse. I told you. And you didn't believe. You see, my friends, the Old Testament Scriptures testify of Christ. You want to know who He is? Read the Scriptures. To Him give all the prophets witness. That's what the Old Testament Scriptures are all about, Christ. And not only do the Scriptures tell us who He is, the works that He did, the blind see, and the lame walk, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. The works that He did, the works that the Father gave Him to do, bear witness of Him. The Father Himself declared who He is. The angels stood on the hillsides of Judea and declared loud and clear, we bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, Bethlehem, a Savior, who's none other than Christ the Lord. Oh, we have plenty of witnesses. We have plenty of testimonies. We have plenty of Scripture. We have no reason not to know who He is. You're the Christ? I told you. I told you. And you didn't believe me. Is this said about you? But you believe not. Well, then why didn't they believe? Why didn't these people believe? Well, there's several reasons you can give for that. One is the evil of the heart. Why don't people believe the gospel today? It's the same gospel. We have more revelation today than Abraham had. We have more revelation than Moses had, more than David, the man after God's own heart. We have more revelation than Isaiah. Christ has come and died and risen again, ascended and gone back to heaven, and the canon of Scripture is complete. But men do not believe because of the evil in their hearts. Men do not believe because of the pride of their heart. Men do not believe because of their blindness to spiritual things. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds. The veil is over their eyes. Paul wrote that about the Jewish nation. The veil is over their eyes when Moses is read. But here, chiefly, primarily, why do men not believe? He said, they said, tell us, are you the Christ? Let's hear you say it. He said, I told you. I told you, and you didn't believe me. And all the witnesses and works and words and Scripture, my Father, all of these works that I do bear witness of me, and you don't believe, but you believe not. But you believe not. Verse 26, because you are not of my sheep. That's why you don't believe. You're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. Now, that's what this message today is all about. And we'll pick it up right there at verse 27. The difference between those who are sheep and those who are not sheep. I talked to you last week about the shepherd of the sheep, the grand and glorious, good, chief, great shepherd. I'm going to talk to you today about the sheep of the shepherd. These sheep of His pasture, these people He called my sheep, these folks of whom He said, other sheep I have, I must bring them. And He tells these folks, said, you don't believe me. You won't receive me. You won't come to me because you're not of my sheep. But now watch eight things He says about His sheep. Here they are right here. You take your Bible and just underline them. Underline them. First of all, He says in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. They hear my voice. This is twofold. First of all, they hear His voice in regeneration. That is, the dead live. You who hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. As the Father hath life in himself, even so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. The Son quickeneth whom he will. Just like our Lord stood at the grave of Lazarus, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus heard his voice, and he came forth. My sheep hear my voice. And when the dead in sin hear his voice, the voice of regeneration, the voice of quickening, the new birth, life through the Word, they hear. And not only that, but they hear the Word of God when it's preached. When it's preached. Now, there's not much preaching going on today. A lot of singing, not much preaching. This program has 28 and a half minutes of preaching because this generation needs to hear the truth of God. We don't need more quartets. We've got too many. We don't need any more trios. We've got too many. We don't need any more gospel music conventions. We've got too many. We need some people to take the Scripture and stand and preach what God says to this generation. We're raising a generation that's ignorant of God's Word. Only they know how to wave their hands, and they know how to shout and yell and scream and holler. But that's not what we need. We need to hear what God says. I heard a preacher on television recently, and they made announcements, and then they prayed, and then they sang some songs, and then he said, now I'm going to preach, but now don't y'all go away, because we're going to have some more music after a while. In other words, I know you don't want to hear me. I know you're not going to hear me, but just hang around. We'll sing some more. We don't need to sing anymore. We need to preach. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Comfort comes by hearing. Spiritual growth comes by hearing the Word of God. That's how, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Any knowledge we have of Christ is going to come through His Word. I have manifested Thy Word to them. My sheep hear my voice. What is his voice? His word. He that is of God hears God's word, and they love God's word, and they hunger for God's word, and they long to hear God's word, and they love to hear a preacher preach God's word. Something else about these sheep. Number one, he said, they hear my voice. They hear my word. That's the green pastures in which we lie down. His word. Secondly, he said, I know them. I know them. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows his sheep. Calls them by name. He's always known them eternally in the covenant of mercy. He's known his sheep. And then look at this. Thirdly, he said, and they follow me. It doesn't say they ought to follow him. I hear preachers say Christians ought to follow the Lord. They do. I hear a preacher say this, well, Christians ought to pray. They do. Christians ought to forgive. They ought to give. They ought to attend church. They ought to worship. They do. Every one of them do. They follow me, Christ said. My sheep hear my voice. They hear my word. They long for my word. They desire my word. They feed on my word. They grow on my word. They're comforted by my word. And they follow me. They follow me. They follow me in paths of holiness and righteousness. Shepherds used to mark their sheep. Robert Murray McShane said shepherds used to mark their sheep. They'd mark them with tar. That's right. They'd put a gob of tar somewhere on that woolly back. And they'd know their sheep by the mark, brand they put on them. Our Lord's sheep are marked. Sometime when you have an opportunity, jot this down. Write this down. Exodus 29. 20. This is the way God's sheep are branded. They're marked. The priest of the Old Testament, when he was consecrated a priest, they put three marks on him with blood. Three marks. First of all, on his right ear, they put blood. And then on his hand, on his thumb, they put blood. And then on the big toe of his foot, they put blood. The ear, the hand, and the foot, marked with blood. This is how God's sheep are marked. They're marked with the ear. They hear his voice. They hear God's word. Another shepherd they'll not follow. A stranger they'll not follow. They can discern the truth. They can hear the truth. They know when a man's preaching the truth. They know when a man's telling the truth. They know the truth. They hear his voice. They discern truth. Secondly, he marks them on the hand. They're generous. They're forgiving. They're kind. They reach out to others. They got the mark of the blood of Christ on their hands. Be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's right. They're marked. They're branded. And then their feet, they're marked on the foot. They walk in His word. They walk in His will. They walk in His way. They walk with Him. They follow me. They follow me. That's my sheep. This is the sheep of the shepherd. I'm not talking about religious folks. I'm not talking about all those nice folks that made a profession of faith and put their names on the church roll and said, "Goodbye, God. I'll see you in heaven if you make it." I'm talking about the sheep of the shepherd. Consecrated, dedicated, ordained, anointed, called, redeemed in Christ. The sheep of the shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. Listen, and I give them eternal life. I give them eternal life. They don't earn it. They don't merit it. They don't deserve it. I give it to them. You see, my friends, eternal life's the gift of God. The wages of sin is death. I earned that. But the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm telling you the truth. This is the record. God hath given us eternal life. He said, "Thou hast given me," when he prayed in John 17, he said, "My Father, you have given me power over all flesh. Everybody's in my hands to do with what I will." Jesus Christ has authority over all flesh, power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Who has eternal life? Those whom the Father gave to the Son. Where'd they get it? Where'd they get this life? The Son gave it to them. I give them eternal life. Give them. And He's not an Indian giver. He gives eternal life. Eternal life, what is it? That's not talking about the length of it. Somebody said, "What's eternal life?" That means you're going to live forever. Everybody's going to live forever. The devils in hell will live forever, but they don't have eternal life. They have life that will be eternal, but not eternal life. You see, eternal life is the life of God. Eternal life is spiritual life. Eternal life is the life of God in the soul. Eternal life is what Adam lost in the garden. The quality, not the quantity, the quality. Eternal life is the life of God. And he said, "That's what I give my sheep. Eternal life." And eternal life is in Christ. He is our life. Our Lord said that to Martha, the sister of Lazarus, when she came weeping to our Lord after Lazarus had been dead 4 days. And she said, "Lord, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. But even now, I know whatever you ask the Father, he'll give you." And Christ said, "Martha, I'm the life. I'm the resurrection and the life. I give them myself." Eternal life is not only in Christ, it is Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. Do you understand what I'm saying? Eternal life is not believing a doctrine. It's the indwelling of a person. Eternal life is not making a profession of religion and changing your way of living. Eternal life is changing the management of your soul. It's God comes in and drives out evil and reigns himself. He, Christ, lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I give them eternal life. My Father and I will come in and dwell. And listen, and they'll never perish. Never perish. Philippians 1:6 says, "He that hath begun a good work in you shall complete it in the day of Jesus Christ." Paul said, "I'm convinced of this, that if God begins a work," where? In you. Eternal life in you. Christ in you. God revealed His Son, Paul said, "In me." He'll finish it in the day of Jesus Christ. Who begins the work? He does. Who finishes it? He does. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And he says he'll never leave them. They'll never perish. Listen to Jeremiah 32. Listen to this. Now, here's what I'm saying, and I know people sit around and argue about once saved, always saved, once in grace, always in grace. Listen to me. Quit arguing about that foolishness. Quit arguing. Quit debating those things. Your eternal salvation depends on who saved you. If you saved yourself, you'll perish. If your mama saved you, you'll perish. If a preacher saved you, you'll perish. If God saved you, you'll never perish. That's just so. He that hath begun a good work in you, he'll finish it. He says in Jeremiah 32, listen to verse 38. They shall be my people. I'll be their God. I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for their good and the good of their children. I will make a covenant with them, and I will never turn away from them to do them good. And I'll put my fear in their hearts, and they'll never depart from me. That's what I'm talking about. And that's not just coming down the aisle, raising your hand, joining the church, and signing a card, and getting baptized, and quitting, and coming back later, and leaving next month. And the church is like they ought to put turnstiles in those places. People going out and coming in. They're just swapping places, swapping pews. Just keep coming out and going in. God's people, He said, I'll make a covenant with them, and I'll never leave them, and I'll put my love and fear and grace in their hearts, and they'll never leave me. I give them eternal life, and they'll never, never perish. That soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I'll never, never, no, never, no, never desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake. What can separate me from the love of God? Tribulation? Persecution? Famine? Life? Death? Enemies? I'm persuaded that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ our Lord. He says this, listen, verse, the next thing he says about his sheep, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, I thought about when I looked at that and sketching these notes down. Our Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. They follow me. Every one of them. I give them eternal life. And they're not going to perish. They're my sheep. They're my children. They're my brethren. They're my jewels. And nobody's going to take them away from me. Now, I'm a daddy and a granddaddy. And how I love my children and my grandchildren. And nobody's going to take them away from me if I can help it. Nobody's going to come into my home and take our babies. They're not going to do it. They're going to have to kill me first. And this is what my Lord's saying. Nobody's going to take them out of my hands. Not Satan, not evil, not demons, nothing, nothing. They'll never perish, and neither shall any man take them out of my hands. You see, he says, my Father gave them to me. My Father gave me them. You know, I had a preacher ask me one time, he said, well, where did the Lord get his sheep? He says he has some sheep. Where'd he get them? Well, threefold. I'll answer that question threefold. We don't have much time, but let me deal with this a moment. I'll answer it threefold. Number one, where'd he get his sheep? The Father gave them to him. Before the foundation of the world, read your Bible. Before the foundation of the world, the Father gave Christ a people. He said, all that my Father giveth me, John 6:37, will come to me. And him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. Secondly, where did he get his sheep? He bought them. He purchased them. I lay down my life for the sheep. He bought them. He redeemed them. Every one. He restoreth my soul. He redeemeth my life from destruction. He bought me from the law and bought me from the justice of God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Who bought me? My Lord bought me. I didn't help him pay for it either. He paid it all. All the debt I owe. Sin left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He bought me. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit brought me to him. The Father gave me to him. He bought me, and then the Holy Spirit one day reached down and called me and brought me to Christ. And nobody's going to pluck me out of his hand, or you either. You see, here's the reason. He says in verse 30, because I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. No man can pluck them out of the Father's hand, out of my hand. I and my Father are one. One in essence, he's God. One in purpose, a covenant. One in power, the Son quickeneth whom he will. And one in glory. And you know what our Lord said? He that honoreth the Son, the Father will honor him. My friend, whoever honors the Son is going to be honored of the Father. Oh, I tell you, today's religion is a farce and a joke. We better save ourselves from this untoward generation. Seek the Lord. Cry out for His mercy. Oh, God. I want to be one of your sheep. Man knocked at the door one time. A wife and her husband were sitting in the living room. Someone knocked at the door, and she went to the door, and she's gone a good while. And in a few moments, she came back and had the strangest look on her face. Strangest look. Her husband said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "Who was at the door?" She said, "Well, there was a man at the door." Her husband said, "What did he say to you?" She said, "He asked me if I knew the Lord Jesus Christ." And her husband said, "Well, you told him you was a member of the church, didn't you?" She said, "He never asked me that." "Well," he said, "you told him you teach Sunday school, didn't you? You sing in the choir?" She said, "He didn't ask me that." "Did you tell him your daddy was a preacher?" "He didn't ask me that. He didn't ask me if I was a church member, or if I taught Sunday school, or who my daddy was. He asked me if I knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And I told him no. No, I don't." Do you? He's the shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They'll hear my voice. There'll be one fold. And my sheep follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish. And no man will pluck them out of my hand. My Father gave them to me. My Father's greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of his hand, because I and my Father are one. Then, they took up stones to stone him. You want this tape? Send $2. We'll mail it to you. The shepherd of the sheep, the sheep of the shepherd. Till next week, God bless you.